So the fact of the matter, the bottom line here in these verses is Solomon came to the conclusion that having studied it all, seeing it all, understanding it all, you know, finding all of worldly wisdom can give you, the knowledge of things present and past, it all led to vanity. But God's wisdom, that is what brings life. That's what Solomon came to the conclusion. We're going to see in chapter 2 that he goes after the wisdom of, or he starts satisfying his flesh. But ultimately, as Jesus said, that the Queen of Sheba came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Why? Because Solomon had worldly wisdom. He had the wisdom, you know, he knew how things worked. I had a friend who a good friend of mine, who was in ministry. And one of the things he prided on is he said, I know how things work. And he could make things work. He could build churches. He could do all kinds of things. But having worldly wisdom is not cannot compare to having godly wisdom. And that's what the Queen of Sheba came to hear worldly wisdom. But Jesus said to the Pharisees, the Queen of Sheba came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed a greater than Solomon is here, speaking of himself. Through his wisdom we move beyond futility to a true wisdom, that is the wisdom of Christ, a wisdom from above, as James says. The wisdom of Jesus revealed it was not the work of deep study. It was not written on a scroll, although it was in the scriptures, but it was written or experienced on a cross. That's the wisdom of God. Someone read now 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through following, through 18 on. All right, for the... First Corinthians 1:18. Someone read that?
For the word of the cross is folly.
Go ahead, Tom.
For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.
Amen.
For there is one who is wise, where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles.
Okay, that's good. So the reality is that the cross is the foolishness of the world. It's not the wisdom. Solomon had the wisdom of the world. But it wasn't until Jesus came and accomplished what he did that he showed the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is found in death, in dying to the things of the world. Solomon never got that. He never truly understood that. Abraham, you know, saw it from a distance. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. But he didn't truly attain it.
Well, Roy, it seems like having completed Ecclesiastes, Solomon did see it. At the end, I mean, he pointed out at the end, it's all God.
Well, that's right. He did find God, but he didn't find the foolishness of the cross. I don't think Solomon ever would have come up with that. I really don't. I don't think any of us would have. I mean, it was a mystery. I mean, who would have thought that someone dying on a cross, not someone, God... Who would have thought that God dying on a cross could accomplish anything for me? But it's the wisdom of God. Because in it, he accomplishes a removal of sin, overcoming darkness and evil, and restoring the world, beginning the process of restoring the world. That's foolishness to the world, but wisdom to God. The more we seek knowledge and wisdom, the more ignorant we realize we are. That's what Solomon's saying as he concludes this chapter. It's interesting to consider that the root of all his frustration goes back to the Garden of Eden and Satan's offer to Eve that if she ate the fruit, she would have the knowledge of good and evil. Isn't that wisdom? It's knowledge, and it's also wisdom. Hey, God's holding back from you because if you eat it, you'll be like God, who has everything. When Adam and Eve sinned, they did not get an experiential knowledge of good and evil. But since they were alienated from God, or no, they did get an experiential knowledge of good and evil. They did experience it. But since they were alienated from God, this knowledge only added to their sorrows. Do you see it? Knowledge apart from God only adds to sorrow. Because it shows you how futile. That's what Solomon came to in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. For some people, life may be monotonous and meaningless, but it doesn't have to be. For the person who places his faith in God, life then becomes an open door, not a closed circle. Meaning, but morning by morning, new mercies we see. Because God comes into the life. That's why we can read the Word and open our window and see God's mercy and God's grace. We may not be able to explain everything, but life is not built on explanations. It's built on a promise. You know, my wife at times would have liked me to explain everything. You know, and sometimes I just can't explain it. And she has to accept that. And she does, because she loves me. And I love her. We can't explain everything in life. But love, you know, love, the love of God, God's love found in Christ, helps us to trust and to walk in faith. Abraham did not get an explanation of why God was leading him out of Ur of the Promised Land, but we see it in hindsight in his God's plan. There's a tie between wisdom and knowledge, and that tie is the fear of the Lord. True knowledge is more than mere information, but centers in the seeking of God's will and his ways, and it includes obedience. So as we seek God and his word and walk in his ways, he takes us, leads us through the circuitous paths of life and gives us his presence, his joy, his peace, and shows us that life does have meaning. Life does have purpose. Life does have blessings for us if we look to him. Are there any questions or observations?
I would just add that I've never seen this before, but the combination of Romans and Ecclesiastes, looking at them together, is really powerful. It
is, you know, yeah, the futility of men's minds and thinking.
Well,
and
especially the first few. Yeah, I mean, they're going over it. They're going over, so, you know, Romans 1 is kind of going over the same futility thing.
Yeah.
The futility of the unsaved or the people who refuse to look to God, or at least who may look to him only in an external way.
Yeah.
And then you study, you know, Ecclesiastes, it's really a blessing going through it here, because, you know, verse by verse, you really are able to separate what it's like to live the way we normally live, the way we're trained, the worldly way.
Yeah.
As great and advanced as our society is.
Yeah, we have great knowledge.
Great knowledge, but we still don't have any godly wisdom,
right,
unless we seek God, unless
right,
we keep our eyes on him moment by moment.
Right.
I mean, it's an... And so, anyway, I just was thinking all through this morning that these two books together are just really great.
Yeah, they are. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your the wisdom that passes all understanding, the foolishness of the cross, which is the wisdom of God, that in dying, Lord, with Jesus, we find life, and we find truth, and we find hope and comfort in a comfortless world. Father, may we take the knowledge that you give us in your word, and Lord, may we couple it with the cross of Messiah and experience true knowledge, the wisdom of God. Lord, bless each one who's here as they operate in the world, Father. And may that great hope and that great assurance bless them and be with them through this day, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm.